This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Grand Bahama News, Marco's Pizza, and Ross Electric Motors.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. It's the Foundation. It's the Foundation. Foundation. It's the foundation.
It's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, Guardian Radio Station 96.9, 12 to 2. It's the time you can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this absolutely gorgeous Monday afternoon, September 4th, live and in full effect. If you're celebrating a birthday, I say happy birthday to you, all those persons out there celebrating a birthday. As we slip into the ninth month, I know you guys are kind of geared up. I don't know whether or not you got all your Christmas things kind of laid out. You want to push past October and get yourself right into a celebratory mode for Christmas. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that the children are back to school. Let's take a moment of silence for all the money that we spent during the summer times, right? All the money that we spent for these kids. We're just grateful they were eating everything out of our fridge, out of our homes, and we're just grateful that the teachers got to deal with them now. Guys, it's a beautiful day. I want to thank you so very kindly for tuning in today. You know that we had something set up. I know you want to talk about the reshuffle. Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Guardian newspaper right there. Reshuffle. Prime Minister announces cabinet changes. Cabinet changes are a desperate move. This is what Michael Pintard says. And Pratt sworn in as the 12th Governor General of the Bahamas. You can be able to read all this information here in the newspaper. Make sure you pick that up right here Monday, September 4th, as we dive into these particular things. And really have a good conversation. The Prime Minister says that the Commission of Inquiry into events surrounding Dorian is not ruled out. I'm going to talk a little bit deeper about this, but today you know that we're actually being able to set aside a time to be able to have an exclusive conversation. I'm grateful for that. Before we dive into anything, I want to be grateful and say shout out to all my good friends down there at AFS Insurance, my good friend Ethric Bowe, if you're being able to do anything and you got your bubble on the road, make sure you go and check him out, 341-AFS over at AFS Insurance and Brokers. They can be able to assist you, get your car on the road and be able to do all those things. Guys, today is a special day. Now, for a very long time, we've been having this kind of a conversation about what we're going to be doing, right? Taking the course, sort of the show, and moving it in a direction where we could have what's going on externally and bring it internally. The world is moving at a rapid pace, and we're seeing a great deal of things happen in China. My good friends, Omar Smith and Antonio Lorenzo Bullard, came on and talked to us about this concept and idea that existed about trips that they've been taking to China for the past 20 years. I thought it was wild. I said, you guys have been going to China for 20 years? As they sat with us on Small Business Thursday, they expanded the conversation about the opportunities that existed in China. I wanted to know more. I committed to going on that trip. We're going to be going to China on October 16th. But before we did that, I just want to be able to thank the People's Republic of China for affording me an opportunity to have this conversation today. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you to none other than Her Excellency, the ambassador, the Chinese ambassador to the Bahamas, Dai Qingli. Ambassador, say good afternoon to the people out there listening to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I hope everyone is doing fantastic.
She's in studio with us, ladies and gentlemen. I am grateful for her to be here with us today. I'm so excited. I feel like a schoolgirl. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm so happy to have you, Ambassador. It's very good for you to be in the studio with us today.
Thank you so much, Howard, for having me.
Absolutely. I just wanted to be able to start off on a softer tone and being able to get about these particular things. Every time we see these appointments, we always try to find out a little bit more about those persons. We've been reading up on you and what you've done for the People of the Republic of China. Tell persons who you are and your years of service and what you've been doing here in the country.
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm very fortunate to be the first woman ambassador from China to the Bahamas. I've been here for more than 2.5 years now, and I really enjoyed my posting. The Bahamas is always better, as everyone knows.
You need to stop.
Yes. And indeed, no joking, because I've been to some other Caribbean countries.
Wow.
Your seas are the most beautiful.
Wow.
And the scenery here, you know, it's just unparalleled.
Wow.
And some of your tourism facilities are world class.
Really?
Yeah, I just want to highlight, because during the 50th independence, we have some very senior Chinese visitors coming. We took them to the Nassau New Cruise Port. Mm-hmm. And we also, invited them to stay at the Bahamar. You know, both facilities left them a very deep impression. They said,
really?
It's world class. And they said, China should learn from the Bahamas.
Really?
In terms of tourism infrastructure management, and especially in the cruise tourism sector.
That's one of the things that we've been able to take around the world, our tourism. That model that has never really left us has been strong here. So we're grateful that you guys have recognized it. And the Bahamian people need to know that. You know, sometimes we are wondering whether or not we're on world-class levels and doing what we have to do. But you're saying that we are.
Yes, at some levels.
At some levels. Well, we're definitely going to be able to work on that, and I'm grateful that you did that. Now, I wanted to get right into it and dive into these particular things. I wanted to know about, you said you brought some senior officials here, and you did some stuff. Talk to us about the current state of diplomatic relations between China and the Bahamas.
Generally, we are happy with the direction and progress of China-Bahamas relations for the past 26 years, particularly in the past couple of years. You know, a few things have made our relationship really strong. The first thing is mutual respect, you know, between a big country and a small island country. China has always respected the sovereignty and independence of the Bahamas and the choices of the Bahamian people. On the Bahamas part, adherence to the One China policy has laid the crucial foundation for China-Bahamas relations, as the One China principle bears on China's core national interests. So the second thing that made our relationship solid and growing is win-win cooperation. We can talk about that, I'm sure. There is a long list of accomplishments our two countries have made together.
Would you say win-win cooperation?
Yes.
Okay.
Win-win cooperation as the second. The third aspect is building a friendship in need. So whenever the Bahamas is confronted with serious challenges, be it Hurricane Dorian or the pandemic, you know, China is always ready to extend a helping hand to the Bahamas, to the Bahamian people. Because we believe that's friends, what friends are for.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth feature of our relationship is our deepening people-to-people friendship. I'm glad to tell you that so far we have had more than 160 talented Bahamian young people, men and women, going to China on Chinese, fully funded Chinese government scholarships. We also have a number of self-funded students in China. And over the years, we have trained a total of more than 600 Bahamian officials and technicians for various training seminars. And culturally, you know, our two countries are fully able to appreciate each other's cultures. We are very, very different, coming from a vastly different cultural tradition. But when the John Canoe was performed in China several times, you know, the audience, they blow the audience away.
Really?
Yes. It was great. You know, they really liked it. And they have photos showing, because I was not there, of course. And they had one performance brought by former Prime Minister Christie to the Shanghai Expo, I think. Yeah, back in 2010.
Really?
Yes, and that was a resounding success. And you also had Bohemian artists performing in China, like Fred Munnings, Julian Believe, a whole lot of people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were very well liked.
Wow.
And, Chinese acrobatics, we have the monks from Shaolin Temple performing in the Bahamas some years ago.
So there is a nice, healthy cross exchange of culture.
Exactly.
That's happening.
So that has underpinned the healthy development of our relations. Because
really?
It is mainly about the people, fundamentally,
Wow. That's an amazing thing that you're doing that, because the first thing that I think, right, is when we're taking these things, when we're doing this, is when you talk about the deepening of people to people, we have a program here in the country that specifically spoke to people to people. So is this some of the things that you do? You're very personable mm-hmm. in your country. Is this some of the courses that you take?
Yeah, you mean, yeah, of course,
yeah.
Because that's a priority for myself and my embassy. Of course, we do the diplomatic part of our work, like talking to foreign affairs, etc. And we do the economic diplomacy. But what I really personally enjoyed doing is to reach out to the Bahamian society and visiting communities, schools, talking to people of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
I find fundamentally our two peoples are so similar. We value very similar things
mm-hmm.
and we follow, basically similar moral principles. Yeah, so I find we can relate to each other so much. So that's a very enjoyable part of my work. But, I haven't done that really nearly enough. We should do more.
You told me about some of the successes that you had as it relates to the cross-culture, the mutual respect that we have, the win-win cooperation. Tell me about more specifically any of the successes, the ongoing partnerships and initiatives between our two countries that we can be able to identify and say, wow, we're doing well in those areas.
Yeah, sure. I think our two countries can take pride in what we have accomplished for the past 26 years. So the first aspect, of course, to look at is infrastructure. And here in Nassau, in a couple of other islands, it's very obvious. They are visible landmarks of our cooperation. For example, the earliest one was probably the Freeport Container Port in Grand Bahama,
mm-hmm.
Freeport. Yeah, invested by Hutchison Whampoa. Yes,
yeah.
And then you have the stadium. The Thomas Robinson Stadium, and then you have the airport gateway, you have the Northern Abaco Port, and then you have the Bahama. That's a monumental project between our countries, stretching out over many years, creating more than 6,000 permanent jobs. And also the latest one was the Point project at Margaritaville, which created more than 500 jobs. So there is tremendous success in infrastructure cooperation. And the second area, is medical care. During the past 3 years of the pandemic, we have provided the Bahamas, 13 batches of medical supplies and equipment. It's a donation, actually, free of charge completely, to aid your fight against the COVID-19. And back in 2014, I also wanted to highlight the Brightness Action Program, whereby a team of Chinese doctors came to Princess Margaret Hospital and performed cataract surgery on more than 100 Bohemian patients. So we had a very strong medical cooperation. And also in technology, I'm sure young people are excited about that. We have Chinese companies such as Huawei building a 4G wireless network that is providing reliable and high-quality services to half of your population.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have BYD, the electrical car leader, world leader.
Build your dreams.
Yes, build your dreams, building their dreams in the Bahamas in a very big way.
This is all of course, but I want to know whether or not they are solely here in the Bahamas or they expand throughout the Caribbean region?
Yes, of course. It's a regional and a global drive. For BYD and Huawei, both are global companies. And BYD has just overtaken Tesla in terms of global sales volume. They became the number one in the sales of fully electrical cars.
Mm-hmm.
And Huawei, of course, just rolled out their model of something similar to a 5G phone, cell phone, which was a tremendous hit in China.
Really?
Yes. Despite all that has been happening to that company.
China has always been, for the past few decades, we've been seeing them take significant leaps and bounds and leading significantly throughout the entire region. I want to tell us a little bit about the Belt and Road Initiative. And what role does China see the Bahamas playing in that particular initiative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought the Belt and Road up. This is a signature project for China in terms of external overseas economic and trading cooperation. This year is actually the 10th anniversary for the inception of this concept proposed by President Xi Jinping. But in the past 10 years, more than 180 countries and the international and regional organizations have signed up to Belt and Road cooperation. And this cooperation has mobilized close to $1 trillion in investment, going into more than 3,000 projects, creating more than 420,000 new job opportunities in participating countries. You know, this initiative has gone far beyond just a Chinese initiative. It has evolved into a major international platform for cooperation. Because for China, you know, the global challenges such as the pandemic and climate change have shown to us, you know, we are living in a community with a shared future. You know, we are really in the same boat and we have no other option but to help each other. Mm-hmm. Because no one can really tackle these global challenges alone. So that is why China rolled out the BRI programs in order to share development and prosperity across the developing world to build up global peace and development.
It's a wonderful thing. I want to know a little bit more about it. You said so over the past decade, this has been something that you actually did.
Yes.
And you rolled it out for over the past decade. Okay, so tell me, there is a lot of conversations about what's happening in Jamaica.
Oh, yes.
So talk to me about that specifically, and you know, because there is this sort of a pushback in saying that would it cause some issues internally, would it lead to dependency? So I want to talk to you about that and talk to you about some of the strengths that exist in those areas.
Yeah, well, you know, these programs have been tremendously popular. You see, so many countries have signed up not to generate dependency. Right, I'm sure that they enter into such cooperation arrangements out of their own will and based on their own interests, because BRI has generated a lot of development for so many developing countries, mm-hmm. and we only need to look at the Caribbean region. Not even, you know, we don't even to look at Africa. You know, in the Caribbean there are 8 countries joining the BRI, and in every country there have been major projects proposed by those countries, but funded by China in a concessional way. You know, for Jamaica, they just had their North-South Highway, mm-hmm. Which has cut the time of travel from multiple hours to just a couple of hours. So that is a very conducive condition for making their development easier and making the country an integrated market. Mm-hmm. And in Trinidad, for example, they just completed the Phoenix Industrial Park, and they are attracting Chinese companies to establish a presence in Trinidad, and that is going very well. And in Antigua and Barbuda, they have been a housing project for those hit by hurricanes or natural disasters, and that's making the local Barbuda people really happy. Really? You know, if you go to every and in Jamaica and in Dominica, and they are agricultural projects. Just, you know, wherever you go, you see local people working very well with China under the BRI framework.
So these are projects that are developed, the concept for the projects are developed internally and they're presented externally to the BRI.
Exactly.
And say, we want you to fund this particular project for us.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, for China, we are an outsider. We don't want to impose anything on anyone. Yeah, because our development cooperation has always followed the principle of equality and the mutual respect. It is always up to the recipient country to propose projects. Mm-hmm. And then they bring their proposals to China and they discuss and agree the terms. And then, you know, go ahead. That's what has happened for the past 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk more about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you want to be able to get in here and have great conversation and participate. On the second hour, if you would be so gracious and to give us another opportunity on the second hour, we'll open up the phone lines for you to be able to call in. The numbers you can do so at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Or you can hit me up on the text 422-4796. We're here live and in full effect, having great, great ambassadorial conversations today. I'm very happy to be able to be here with Ambassador Dai Quingli, all the way from China, being able to speak to us about the progression and growth that exists within the two countries and where we're going from here. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and be right back after this.
The foundation. We'll be back right after this. The foundation.
At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right, order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50. Fat inclusive on our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
You've tried everything. ASUS, with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bf.
Protection for your money guaranteed with DIC.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this absolutely gorgeous Monday afternoon, September 4th, 2023, here with none other than Chinese Ambassador to the Bahamas, Ambassador Qing Li. I'm so happy to be able to have you with us and being able to join us and being very transparent and giving us the information that a great deal of us speculate on. So I thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk about that. When we left off, you were talking to us about the Belt and Road Initiative. Now, I didn't want to kind of dive too deep into it, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to do so. There is this sort of a sense and sentiment that exists in a great deal of environments that says that the relentless lending that persons are running into China from the countries that are the dependent countries and impoverished countries that are asking for funds for infrastructural development, it's going to lead to some sense of dependency. Give us some clarity on those particular areas and what China's doing in that area.
Yeah. Actually, you know, Howard, you heard lots of, you know, wordings and terms that describe China's cooperation with developing countries that generate some fear and concern.
Yeah.
The debt trap, you know, neocolonialism, you know, you name it. But these are assertions and even fabrications which does not hold water at all and does not bear any scrutiny. Because, you know, for developing countries, we don't want dependency. But there, unfortunately, there has been lots of dependency in the past, but not on China. If you look at the structure of the debt by the developing countries, actually the multilateral financial institutions and the commercial lenders from Western countries are the main lenders, creditors for developing countries. They are, according to the World Bank, in terms of the sovereign debts for 121 developing countries, the proportion taken by multilateral financial institutions and the Western commercial lenders is over 80%.
Wow.
And for China, it's generally around 10%, around that, hovering around that, sometimes lower, you know, sometimes a bit higher. And according to an NGO report from the UK, you know, the debt owed by African countries to the Western private financial institutions are the three times more than the debt they owed to China. And the interest rate doubles the interest rate offered by China.
Wow.
You know, so China has offered tremendously concessional loans over many years to African countries. And we are actually the biggest contributor to the G20's debt service suspension initiative for the past couple of years. And President Xi announced at the G20 meeting last year that China's debt service suspension involves the value of $1.3 billion. So all those kind of terms that try to slander China's cooperation with developing countries are really not consistent with facts. And also the another interesting factor to note is that debt dependency or whatever is just a label a small number of Western politicians and media try to put on China. But not one borrowing country sees things that way. Because, you know, such kind of a debt dependency shows disrespect for borrowers. You know, it looks almost like these countries do not possess the capacity to make good judgments about what and how much to borrow from China.
That's one of the reasons why I opened the way that I did about the debt, I mean the Belt Initiative, and why I asked you specifically if internally
persons are developing these concepts to say that these are projects that we want to work on, and then presenting it to you as a Chinese government to say that we'd like you to be able to help us with this particular project.
That's right.
And that's what you're having. That's what you're having. So where do you believe that this slander that you call it, this slander is generated from? Why would persons want to be able to say that there is this dependency on China and China's neocolonialism and the debt trap and so forth and so on? Why do you believe that they want to be able to take that perspective or that avenue?
I mean, all these are lies and fabrications. You know, for those people, you always trace it back to a small number of Western politicians and media outlets. I think they try because it goes to the root of their fundamental misperception of China.
Mm.
Because they don't see China's development as part of the collective rise of developing countries as bringing extra development and prosperity to the world. They see the development of China in a very negative way. They think that China possesses the capacity to challenge Western hegemony. Mm. So that goes to the root of their misconception of China. And they think and they misread China's strategic intentions. They believe China is trying to replace the United States, for example, for global supremacy. As a superpower. But that's so much of a misreading because China has no intention of grabbing global hegemony because we just want to take care of our 1.4 billion people. And if you noticed at the latest BRICS summit, President Xi Jinping has come out again very strongly against the so-called new Cold War because China really feels the world doesn't need another new Cold War. We have had enough problems. We don't need to see any more geopolitical contention or contest between the current superpower and China. And China would rather just focus on our domestic development and focus on working with developing countries to, you know, alleviate poverty and enable our people to lead a better life.
And you've been growing exponentially.
Yes. We have been able to develop quite well, but still a lot of things need to be done. And what keeps Chinese leaders awake at night is not to fight for global supremacy, but just to help our people live even better lives. We still have a tremendously large population who are yet to reach a higher living standards that we would want them to.
Well, to deal with the debt dependency and this particular concept, let's see if we can take it local and speak to some of the measures set in place for transparency and accountability in Chinese-funded projects locally. Do you have anything set up like that?
Mm-hmm. Actually, for Chinese investment everywhere, the Chinese government asks Chinese companies to strictly abide by local laws and regulations and to step up cooperation with local companies and increase localization. In the Bahamas, for example, we ask all the Chinese companies operating in the Bahamas to be good corporate citizens, to shoulder their corporate social responsibility and work well with the local partners and bring benefits to the local people. And we have zero tolerance against the corruption by those by any Chinese companies.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, we also hope the Chinese companies would be able to compete and work in a fair and open, enabling market climate for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to be able to shift gears just a bit as to exactly what's happening. With the introduction of the new administration in 2021, this administration here in the country, the Bahamas has taken a strong position globally on carbon emission. Global warming and its effects of our environment, it actually spoke to those particular things. Now, speak to the steps that China has taken to address any environmental concerns associated with the investments in the Bahamas.
Actually, Howard, we are not aware of any significant problems with compliance with environmental standards in the Bahamas by Chinese investors. We appreciate the positive leading role by the Bahamas as a small island developing country in the region and even in the world in on matters related to dealing with climate change. Locally, for any Chinese invested projects, they have to go through environmental impact assessment. Mm-hmm. That is a sure step. So we haven't really heard about any irregularities involving Chinese invested ventures in terms of the environmental impact. But mm-hmm. if there are any complaints, of course, you should let us know. You know, our embassy will help deal with them.
Mm-hmm. What is China's view on the collaboration and its potential as it relates to renewable energy, tourism, and infrastructural developments here in the Bahamas?
Yeah, I think the areas you mentioned are all very important areas. In the post-pandemic world, I think all countries are trying to tackle inadequate development. And we are all trying to identify the new drivers of growth that can put us back on the track of strong growth. I think if you look at what China has been doing, apart from the Belt and Road Initiative, we also have a Global Development Initiative, because we recognize the fact that a lot of the development gains by developing countries have been wiped out by the pandemic, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So, President Xi initiated the Global Development Initiative 2 years ago to reinvigorate the efforts by developing countries to realize the UN Agenda 2030, the Sustainable Development Goals. So we unveiled a Global Development and South-South Cooperation Fund with a valuation of $4 billion. Under this the GDI framework, renewable energy is a major priority area. You know, China is a world leader in renewable energy, particularly in solar. For 10 years, China has been number one in the world in terms of newly added installed capacity for solar energy. And we are the biggest producer of photovoltaic panels, of course. Mm-hmm. So we are very well positioned to assist the Bahamas in realizing its 30% renewable energy goals by 2030. Mm-hmm. I think the Prime Minister reaffirmed that many times. And also, especially given the recent spikes in electricity cost, mm-hmm. I think there should be more urgency and motivation on the part of Bahamian companies and, just with the Bahamian people in adopting more solar energy products. So China is ready to help, and we would encourage more such discussions between Chinese companies and the Bahamian partners.
The governor of the Bahamas has just shuffled their cabinet last evening, officially being able to bring their information to the forefront. And for the very first time, this administration has articulated the need to be able to see a minister or a ministry of energy.
Yeah.
A ministry mm-hmm. of energy, Minister Jo Beth Colby, being able to head that particular initiative, to be able to speak to that. And so you're saying to us that there is sort of an openness, a desire to be able to assist in developing in those particular areas.
Absolutely. And I think the setting up of a Department of Energy, even a Ministry of Energy, is a very good move. It shows the importance that Davis administration places on really developing new energy in the Bahamas. It's actually, your country is so good in terms of developing solar. You have 365 days of sunshine, mm-hmm. actually, limitless sunshine. And you only need a bit of technical help to put things together. It's not that complicated, actually. But it requires the will and the breaking down of barriers in order to introduce more solar energy. And we are happy to engage the new energy ministry and Minister Colby Davis and mm-hmm. And the colleagues in having more conversations about what China can do. We know IDB has been doing a lot.
Yes.
And there have been some very good budding solar programs on a number of islands. We think this is very solid progress. But on the part of China, we'll be happy to do more if needed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you're asked, once you're approached accordingly, mm-hmm. You can be able to do that. Well, mm-hmm. let's talk about this. What about the Chinese view on the collaboration and its potential? We read that. What about speak to the efforts that are being made to promote and expand cultural exchange? Now, you spoke to this. You spoke to the fact that there is some cultural exchanges of what's happening with you know, the cross emphasis, but speak to any other exchanges and the people to people connections between China and the Bahamas. Are there any other avenues that you're going to be able to do in those areas?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Before I address cultural exchanges, I just want to go back to the tourism question in your previous question. I think tourism is a wonderful sector. Actually, the Bahamas is the first country in Latin America and the Caribbean region to sign a mutual exemption of visas agreement with China, you know, back in 2013. And, you know, that opens the door for more Chinese coming to the Bahamas. And also, we are really glad that the Bahamas has decided to stage a country exhibition in the upcoming China Import International Import Expo to be held in Shanghai in early November. That would be a major move to promote Bahamian tourism in China. We very much appreciate that, and we are ready to work with the Ministry of Tourism to make a success of the Bahamas Country Exhibition and its promotion activities in China. And in terms of cultural exchange, you know, for your 50th anniversary of independence, we did bring you, the meaning the Bahamas government and people, a special gift. We brought a group of acrobats from Hunan province to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And they did three performances, one in Grand Bahama and two in Nassau, in Atlantis. That was a great success.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the acrobat, the people really liked that. And also we did a Dragon Boat Festival last year. We, meaning, actually it was led by the local Chinese community. They formed a Dragon Boat Association to do the first inaugural Dragon Boat Festival last year. It was a great success. And the second Dragon Boat Festival is going to be held on the 30th of September and the 1st of October.
This month?
Yes, this month, actually.
Really?
At the end of this month.
We would
warmly encourage more Bahamians to form teams. It's mainly a team of 10 people. You know, it's just everyone above the age of 12, whether you are swimmers or not, could join. Actually, it would be lots of fun. As I said, our cultures are very different, but there are lots of similarities. Dragon boating is similar to sailing, but different in the sense that you need lots of synchronization because you are not paddling, you are not like rowing, because you are two people sitting side by side, each only row on one side. So if they don't row in a synchronized way, the boat will capsize. So it's really interesting. We would really encourage more Bahamians to get in touch with the local Dragon Boat Association to sign up for teams.
Jogan, do you have a number for them? For those persons who are listening in who want to be able to participate in it?
Oh, yes, of course. Please feel free to call the secretary for the Dragon Boat Festival. She's a Chinese, a Bahamian Chinese, by the name of Maggie. Yeah, you could please feel free to call Maggie at... what's Maggie's number? Okay, please feel free to call Maggie at 803-4900 to sign up for the Dragon Boat Racing, and you would have a great time at the end of this month.
Before we get out of here, I want to talk to you as we transition to on the other side. We're going to be talking about something a little different, but before we do that, I wanted to talk to you about the COVID pandemic. It's really shifted the routine course of occupation jobs here in the country in almost every single way, and in every sector globally, we've seen it actually happen. And so lockdowns have brought entrepreneurial ideas to life where there was once a routine labor. Speak to that technology and the products and services that China can offer to make those dreams of entrepreneurialism come alive. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to the Canton Trade Fair to identify those things. But speak to what China has to offer as it relates to technology that can be able to bring persons' dreams of entrepreneurialism alive.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Because what we have seen during the pandemic that almost every sector got disrupted. And there are lots of losers. But there are also some winners too. Because if you are good at adapting your sector to the pandemic situation and to the controls in the testing of temperatures, in the maintaining social distance, etc., and you can even grow your business. Mm-hmm. For example, in China, the non-contact economy has really taken off during the pandemic time. For example, the online education I think during the past 3 years, more than 100 million students in China had their courses online. And, you know, with the remote working software has grown from just a few companies to more than 20 companies, catering to more than 200 million people who had to work remotely at home. And also the online filming, the e-commerce, and, you know, internet, you know, live advertisement sector all have seen explosive growth. The mobile internet traffic consumption grew 36% during the Spring Festival time in 2020 alone. What? So you see a tremendous growth, wow, yeah, of this mobile internet traffic. And also, apart from non-contact, the artificial intelligence has also seen tremendous development.
The AI, yes.
Yeah, AI. AI, yes, is so big. So, and with AI, it's very safe in terms of the pandemic. For example, during the pandemic, lots of robots were introduced to leading hospitals in China. And those robots would do the chores of disinfecting areas and cleaning up and measuring temperatures and monitoring patients, etc. So that greatly reduced the infection risk for the medical care staff. So I think what we can do is, you know, to share with the Bahamas some of these technology, like in education. But the problem is, and see what we can help in terms of both infrastructure, like tablets. You know, we'll be happy to make a donation of some tablets, because if you don't have tablets, you can't learn remotely. Yeah, so that's probably happened in the Bahamas. And also, you know, with e-commerce and with the internet economy and 5G, the cloud technology, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, all these things, this thriving economies and forms of technology are actually facilitating the development of many countries. I think the Bahamas needs to catch the latest trend of the so-called fourth industrial revolution.
I like what you said, and I want to be able to dive a little bit deeper into it as we talk when we get back from the commercial break about the 133rd Import-Export Canton Trade Fair. So I'd like to kind of be able to dive into that and do those things. But one of the things that actually stuck out to me as you even talk about technology is the will. You talked about having the will to be able to make these decisions and breaking some barriers to get to this point. So I'm grateful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, the lines will be wide open. If you want to be able to give us a call when we get back from the commercial break, I'd love you to do so. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. The lines are going to be wide open. You'll be able to take your telephone calls, and we just going to be able to put that out there. And we're grateful for that. Let's take this quick commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
The foundation.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
You've tried everything. ASUS, with your mother's cousin's sister's auntie, and even hiding your money under your mattress. But is your money safe? Your Bahamian dollar deposit in a member bank or credit union is insured up to $50,000. If anything happens, your deposit up to the insured value will be returned to you thanks to Deposit Insurance. Visit Deposit Insurance Corporation at www.dic.bf.
Protection for your money, guaranteed. With DIC.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Marco's Pizza, we never skip on quality or ingredients. Save some cash and satisfy your cravings with our new carry-out medium two-topping pizza for only $12.50. That's right. Order two of your favorite toppings like sausage and green peppers on one medium pizza for only $12.50. Fat inclusive on our app or online. Made daily with fresh dough, our signature sauce, and fresh cheese. Only at Marco's Pizza. Restrictions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful Monday afternoon, September 4th, live and in full effect. I am so grateful that you're tuned in today. I know you want to talk about all manner of things that was happening locally, but we set this up for some time now, and I am grateful to have in our presence none other than Chinese Ambassador to the Bahamas, Her Excellency Dai Quing Li. She's sitting with us and telling us transparently, just kind of being able to pull against the tide and concepts that exist about the conditioning and the ideas and the speculations associated with China, and really being able to give us a true sense of transparency and what the relationships are as they continue to be able to move into the future. I am grateful for that. I am grateful to you for being able to tune in. I got a couple of texts that says, how is a great show? I thank you guys for that. If you want to participate and want to be a part of that, the ambassador has given me an opportunity to be able to open up the lines. I'm grateful for that. You can give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. And also, you can be able to hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Now, remember, this is an official, she's sitting in an official capacity with us, and I'm grateful for that, as she continues to be able to speak on behalf of the People's Republic of China for being able to speak to us. So I'm grateful for that, and I'm hoping that you take that into consideration and you are measured as it relates to being able to speak directly to her because of her representation and the capacity that she sits in right now. So we can be able to do that. I think I have a telephone call on the line. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Kino Voice of Law, with you and your guest, Howard.
Good afternoon, my brother. What's happening with you?
We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Amen.
But I want to speak to the ambassador.
She's right here. Go ahead.
Yes.
Ms. Ambassador, how are you?
Good. Good.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
I have a problem, right? Now, you said that how you would have your people to obey the law when they come to a country, right?
Yes. We encourage.
Okay. Yeah. Say it again?
We encourage Chinese companies to abide by local
laws
and regulations.
I have a problem which some would squat on a piece of land in which I have the dates for, and the case, I had them.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. I just want to be as decent as possible. As I say to you, your personal matters definitely has a line of protocol to be able to take as we deal with those things. I want to keep this the line of questioning in course with what's happening between China and the Bahamas. I know we have temptation and this sort of an eager desire to be able to bring forth, personal grievances or issues that we may have or speculations. But please, let's talk about the growth and development that exists between our countries and how we can move from there. Ambassador, I have a few questions for you. As you are well aware, the foundation with Howard Grant will be traveling to the 133rd Import-Export Canton Trade Fair in Guangdong. How you pronounce it?
Guangdong. Yes.
Right? Guangdong, China, which will be hosting the traders from all around the world. Speak to China's rich history and trade and how the world sought after your country's quality products and craftsmanship.
Yeah. Thank you, Howard. I'm really happy that you are going to Canton Fair this year. As far as we know, this is probably the first group going to Canton Fair since the pandemic. So we really need to encourage more such interflows of our business leaders and media people. For Canton Fair itself, it has the longest history of such business fairs. It was set up in 1957. So actually it's in its 66th year. And it is the largest scale of such business fairs in China. It is attended by the greatest number of importers and from the biggest number of country representations. And Canton Fair offers the biggest number of categories of various goods and commodities and with the highest transaction value within China. So you are certainly going to the right place. So for the Canton Fair for the first half of this year, the number of companies joining the exhibitions exceeded 34,000. And the exhibits, that is the commodities on display, exceeded 3 million. So when you go to Canton Fair itself, the first feeling, I assume, for you is a sheer sense of being overwhelmed.
So 3 weeks mightn't be enough time.
Yes, you can't. I don't think you can see everything.
Yeah.
You only have time to focus on what you really want to see, and you have to do that. Otherwise, you would totally be overwhelmed, and you don't know what you are doing. And so, and because for newcomers, it's always that sensation of being lost in a sea of commodities and not knowing exactly. You will forget what you came here for. So, normally, people going to Canton Fair are guided by people who have been there. So they know where to go, who to speak to. But, I said to you earlier, we would be happy to arrange for a contact person for you and your business delegation.
I'd love that.
At Canton Fair. So you go right to the right booths and to speak to the right people. That will save you so much time.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to do that. Speak to the rich culture and the hospitality and experiences that await travelers on a journey to China. I know I've watched so many movies and watched so many persons go into China, and the first thing that they're met there with is humidity and this sort of hospitality and accepting them in these particular spaces. Speak to what I could expect when I go into these particular places.
Yeah, sure. Before that, I just want to mention to your audiences that apart from the Canton Fair, we also have the EU Commodities Fair, also happening in the month of October. And I'm glad to say that the new president of the Bahamas China Friendship Association, Donovan Moxie, is also leading a trade mission to attend the EU Fair. That is also a very interesting fair for the Bahamas. It is the global capital. EU is the global capital of so-called small commodities. That means the everyday items and the supplies, the small appliances, textiles, etc. So I do hope more business people from the Bahamas would be happy to join Dr. Moxie's trade mission to go to EU or join Howard's trade mission to Canton Fair. And now for your upcoming visit, I'm sure you know, it will be an exciting and memorable visit. I can guarantee you that. You can come back to me and
I'm already dreaming about the thing. I'm already dreaming about it. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm already dreaming. My wife and I, she's
you
like,
will have
I'm
the best tasting food in your life.
Oh, no, hold on.
And you will see such a wide variety of food, all kinds of things. The Guangdong people are very adventurous with their food.
Really?
Yes. So they eat basically everything and anything. And the Chinese way of hospitality is to feed you. They feel they will be.
I don't
be
think
a
I better don't go there.
Host is to feed their guests properly, and also the cultural experience you will be exposed to will be stunning. It will be a memorable trip for your lifetime. I'm really glad you are going.
I am myself. I think I'd like more and more persons to kind of go with me,
yes,
and take on this course. But, you know, I think this is something that we're going to do annually. Like I said, the gentlemen that are going with me, they have been going to China for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years.
Amazing.
And they said every single time that they've went back, it seems as though something changed. That you've seen rapid development and movement in those particular spaces. So I want to be able to, I want to experience that and see exactly what's going on. Guys, the lines are wide open. The numbers are out there. You know exactly what to do. I think I have a telephone call on the line. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello, good day. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, my brother?
And your special guest, she's from the embassy?
Yes, this is the ambassador.
Oh, okay, great. Nice to meet you. Well, I hope to get more information from you. I'll leave my number with the gentleman.
Okay, no problem, the producer.
So we can get more information about your country and traveling to your country.
Oh.
But my question is, how is China dealing with its economy? The other day I was watching the telly, and they were showing how China was dealing with inflation, dealing with how they can cope with mortgages, loans, and all that stuff. I think they're trying to bring mortgages down, make it affordable home for persons. Then you also have big businesses that have issues with their loans. So how is China dealing with their economy? Sounds like they have a little rough ride going on. What's happening with that?
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call, Ambassador.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking this question. Indeed, there has been some news stories about the economy of China, and people are again predicting the downward trend in the Chinese economy, citing what you have cited, the real estate. Some real estate companies in China are getting into trouble, and there has been some high leverage ratio by some local governments and some Chinese companies. But what I can tell you is that there is no cause for worry. No one needs to worry about the trend in the Chinese economy. Actually, we've been doing very well. But the Chinese economy is such a complex economy, given its size and diversity, that if you look at certain aspects, you get some pessimistic views. But if you look at the overall picture, you will realize that the economy is in great shape. In the first half of the year, for example, our economy grew, in the first 6 months, grew 5.6%. So that is 5.5% for the first half. And so China is still leading the world, the major economies of the world in terms of its growth, and is still the most important contributor to global growth. And also, interestingly, sustained recovery of consumption has been an interesting aspect to look at in the Chinese economy. So in this year, the contribution by consumption to growth has reached 77%, which is 44% higher than last year, especially the services consumption. So I think the Chinese economy has tremendous potential because we have 400 million middle-class people who are, whose consumption potential is providing a huge underpinning for the Chinese economy. We also have tremendous economic innovation and green development, and even in trade, China continues to maintain its proportion of trade in the global marketplace. So we still account for 14% of overall trade. But indeed, as you said, and Chinese international companies are still bullish on China. And we are managing the real estate and loan matters in the Chinese economy. So overall, I think there is sufficient reasons to be optimistic. The long-term solid prospect for the Chinese economy has remained unchanged, although there has been some ups and downs in the growth. That is basically the overall picture. So I think there is still enormous opportunity for China-Bahamas cooperation in economic trade and the different sectors.
Okay, I wanted to kind of switch gears because I'm listening to you and I realize that China has a steady hand on their growth and development, almost reaching 6%, or you say 5.5% over the last year.
Yeah.
And I think that's an amazing thing. Now, locally, since this administration has come in, we have seen our brothers and sisters to the south, Haiti more specifically, struggle. With a great deal of things. They have been in turmoil. And I want to talk like this. I want to ask you this question. How does China perceive the role of the Bahamas in regional organizations such as the Caribbean Community, CARICOM, and more specifically our position and our commitment in assisting Haiti in finding a solution to their social concerns?
Yeah, but before I address Haiti and et cetera, I would like to add that some people in the West are too ready to predict the coming collapse of China and the Chinese economy. This has happened many times before, so we are not surprised that they are again trying to magnify the existing problems and challenges in the Chinese economy to make new predictions about the downturns, et cetera, et cetera. I think those people, they always want to prove that China's growth model is wrong. And so they seize on every opportunity to say things are not going well for China. You know, you can sense their mentality of trying to talk down China's economic development. Mm-hmm. But we are familiar with that, and we are dealing with our economic development matters. And, you know, as I said again, there is every reason to be optimistic. And on Haiti, I must say that China appreciates the leading role played by the Bahamas in encouraging the political resolution of the Haiti issue, particularly in the first half of this year, mm-hmm. when the Bahamas held the rotating presidency of the CARICOM.
Mm-hmm.
Also for China, the long suffering and miseries of the Haitian people are heartrending and really deeply concerning. We obviously follow the developments in Haiti. And we place enormous attention and importance on the Haitian situation. Actually, last year, it was China who facilitated emergency reviews of the Haitian issue at the Security Council three times. And it was China which first proposed the sanctions by the UN on the gangs and the related supporters in Haiti, which have perpetrated horrendous acts of violence within Haiti. And so that gave rise to two UN Security Council resolutions, sanctions resolutions against the gangs in Haiti since last year, which exercised trade restrictions, travel restrictions, asset freezes, and arms embargoes by the UN Security Council over the gangs in Haiti. So that mm-hmm. was tremendously helpful for alleviating the situation in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to be able to talk like this and hit us with these questions that you have. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Let me ask you a few questions. What's your name?
Pam.
Favorite food?
Steak.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Is your money safe?
It's under my beds, I guess so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why?
Unless your money is in a bank or credit union that's a member of the Deposit Insurance Corporation, there's no guarantee it's safe.
Yeah, but what if something happens to the bank?
Your Bahamian dollar deposits are insured up to $50,000, so you'd still be ahead. Plus, your mattress might catch fire. Then what?
Man, those banks and credit unions are looking good right about now.
Visit the DIC's website at www.dic.bs. Protection for your money, guaranteed with DIC.
It's back to school season again. Send your kids off with everything they need, from books, uniforms, to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back to school prizes. Call 823-4374.
Calling all junior and senior high school students. You could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, What Does Going Digital Mean to You? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@platoalpha.com by Friday, September 22nd. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio on September 29th. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. It's the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, on this beautiful, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous Monday afternoon here, being able to sit in diplomatic presence and being able to have good conversation about the relationship that exists within the two countries here. The lines are wide open. If you want to be able to do that and be here to kind of dive into the conversation with the Chinese ambassador, you can do that. 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. I got more questions, but these questions are coming in fast and furious, so I want to be able to read one or two of them. It says, good day. Is China committed to reducing their carbon emissions so to help with global warming? And also, is China committed to improving their human rights record? I just wanted to kind of put those two questions out there. These are texts that's actually coming through. So I wanted to kind of put that on the table for you at this point.
Good. I think both are important questions. I think for carbon emissions, China, of course, is one-fifth of humanity. We take our responsibilities seriously. Yeah, and we have formulated our carbon emission goals, which is to strive for carbon peaking by 2030. And carbon neutrality by 2060, that is zero emissions by 2060. And between carbon peaking and carbon neutrality is only 30 years for China, whereas it is more than 60 years for the European Union and 45 years for the United States. And we have been fulfilling our pledges of carbon reductions, emission reductions, seriously. Like when China formulated this goal of carbon peaking by 2030, it doesn't mean it is just a remote goal that we look at by 2030. No, it has already been itemized and annualized down to every province and every sector. Whenever China makes a pledge, it is always ready to fulfill it, but in a concrete way by assigning this task to every province is making their own plans for carbon emission reduction. Mm-hmm. Every sector, like the energy sector, like the metal, metallurgy or whatever, they are each making their own plans. For example, in terms of overall carbon intensity, In 2020, the carbon intensity has decreased by 18.8% on the basis of 2015. And compared with 2005, the carbon intensity reduction reached 48%. So we overfulfilled our commitment to the international community, which is realizing a carbon intensity reduction of between 40 and 45% by 2020. We actually reduced by 48%.
So you went above and beyond.
Exactly.
And you continue to do so.
You see very few countries in the world which is overfulfilling their commitments. You only see developed countries going back on their promises, not fulfilling. You know, since 2009, during the Copenhagen Climate Summit, there was the pledge by developed countries of providing 100 billion US dollars in annual climate funding for developing countries. That was never realized.
No.
And by 2015, during the Paris Agreement, that was reaffirmed by the developed countries.
Yes.
And no one fulfilled that at all.
No.
So I think for developing countries like China and the Bahamas, we should continue to adhere to common but differentiated responsibilities in dealing with climate obligations on the part of all countries. We should hold developed countries accountable and ask them to really fulfill their pledges. And China will continue to do what it should in terms of carbon emission reductions and fulfilling our objectives. So, you know, we are ready to further engage with the international community and play our leading role in promoting international collaboration in terms of dealing with climate change. Because this is existential, not just for a tiny country like the Bahamas, but also for China. If we think about our children's children, you know, we have to make sure we deliver a beautiful planet to them.
I like you say that, you know, because I think in this age, and we talked offline, in this age and era that we lived in, so many persons are consumed with instant gratification. They're not necessarily concerned about the next generation. We know that historically what we read and understand about China is that you're committed to the next generation, to this concept of a marathon and continuing to move into the future as opposed to being able to do something for yourself. Is this a concept that you want the world to take on, to understand its responsibility to tomorrow?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think, you know, much of this so-called climate change is caused by human behavior. It was because of the since the first industrial revolution, you know, the countries have consistently emitted so much greenhouse gases into the atmosphere.
Yes.
So cumulatively, and then, you know, in a cumulative basis, and then it suddenly reached an extent that nature is taking its revenge on humans. So I think we have a responsibility not just to ourselves, but also to our, you know, to the following generations. We have to preserve the Earth properly.
Yeah.
So that's why we need to work together rather than, you know, pointing fingers, you know, and trying to put the blame, shift the blame onto others. I think we are in the same boat. If we don't all paddle to the best of our ability, our boat will capsize, like in the Dragon Boat.
Yeah, in the Dragon Boat.
Yes, that's right.
I got a text about the Dragon Boat. Say, how would I just watch the Dragon Boat on YouTube, and I think I'll be able to compete in about 7 years. I don't know.
At the end of this month.
At the end of this month, right? Let me take a next telephone call. Guys, the lines are wide open if you want to be a part of that. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard. Good day. How you doing,
man? I'm good, my brother. How you doing?
She's from the Chinese embassy.
She's the ambassador for China, Dao King Lee.
What's her name?
Dao King Lee.
Yeah.
All right. Good afternoon, Ms. King Lee. Just a couple of things I want to quickly highlight, which is my concern, which the second question was an address. With the human rights abuses that China is doing, with the Uyghurs, and also Christian churches being burned down. As a Christian nation, I'm totally against it, and our leaders don't speak against it, but it is something that's happening, and China needs to stop it. China is also rewriting the Bible that's in the schools, and these are known facts. I would like that to stop as well. Thank you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for taking that That approach, you want to be able to address that?
Yeah, first I'll address human rights in general. You know, it's such an important issue. But the thing is, human rights, different people look at human rights in different ways. I mean, for China as a developing country, we think the right to economic development, the right to survive and to thrive is very important. So economic, social, cultural rights are very important for developing countries. And in China, we have seen a tremendous expansion of the level of the human rights enjoyed by the Chinese people in the past 40 years, mm-hmm. alongside our economic development. For example, for poor families in the past, they had the human rights, even if they had the human rights to travel within China, they couldn't because they can't afford a train ticket. But nowadays, they can travel wherever within China and even to the world. They can decide where to live or which jobs to have, which school to send their children, who they marry, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, those people who point fingers, we cannot have Western countries, a small number of Western countries, monopolize the concept of human rights and put labels on developing countries. It's like always they are judges and we are the defendants. And we are always being judged morally and in practice by those countries.
I like how you say that.
Yes, exactly, because this has been going on for too long. The developing countries, we should take a hard look at ourselves and decide which are the human rights we need the most. For example, I think for a girl, being able to walk in the streets after midnight is a human right. Mm-hmm. Without concern for her safety mm-hmm. is a human right. And you have that fully in China.
To walk in the streets.
To walk in the streets yes. at midnight, mm-hmm. to go to bars at midnight, and to draw money.
She shouldn't have to be concerned about her health.
Yes, no. Yeah, that's right. The only
her
thing
life.
Is to... Yeah, but... She doesn't need to be concerned about her safety. And when you go to ATM machine, you draw out stacks of cash. No need to worry. No one is going to grab that from you. I mean, of course, in most cases.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is a human right. And to be able to live freely, safely is a great, tremendous human right that mm-hmm. a person is entitled to. And also this caller... You know, raised some specific issues about the Xinjiang, the Uyghur people living there. I think, unfortunately, you know, this gentleman, you have consumed too much Western propaganda about China, you know, mm-hmm. because you have, I don't blame you, but because you have been fed a steady diet of anti-China propaganda that unconsciously you started to think about China in the ways that they want you to think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is totally against the facts and the truths. Xinjiang has, of course, is a beautiful part of China. It's actually 1/6 of China in terms of land territory. And they have many different ethnic groups living there, including the Uyghurs. But in the past, Xinjiang has been troubled tremendously by the problem of religious extremism and terrorism, and also flowing over from Afghanistan and some Central Asian countries. So the Xinjiang government has tried tremendously to help with the de-radicalization of the Xinjiang people,
mm-hmm.
but while protecting the freedom of religious belief by the Xinjiang people. And actually, population-wise, Xinjiang has more mosques on the basis of its population than many other countries. And also they have freedom of religious belief. But it's only that some people interpret what Xinjiang government has been doing in terms of fighting, cracking hard on terrorism as, you know, as infringing on the human rights. I mean, that is not the right way to look at it. Since their efforts to de-radicalize some people in Xinjiang, Xinjiang has been free from terrorist attacks. You know, back in 2009, there was a huge, tremendously terrible, horrendous terrorist attack, killing hundreds of people in the capital city of Xinjiang. So, you know, that got to
so
be dealt with.
So they're not unfamiliar with religious radicalism.
Lots of that.
They've been
lots
very radical.
Yeah.
Now, we have, in this particular space, I, more specifically, have always heard about this religious suppression coming out of China. And your inability to worship freely as you desire there would be some extremists that comes on, and I'm, you know, eventually hindsight tell you that they're extremists. That speaks to religion. That speaks to religion in China.
Yeah. Well, I understand the, such an important role of religion in the Bahamas society.
It is.
I fully understand that. I respect that.
Yes.
Although I'm not a Christian, each time when I attend events, you know, I just join the others, you know, in the prayers.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and, you know, I may not necessarily say that, of course.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, because that's not our, my cultural heritage.
Yes.
But, you know, in China, religious freedom, freedom of religious belief is enshrined in our constitution.
Okay.
And in our religious belief practice, too. You know, in China, if you go to China, I encourage you to go to a Buddhist temple and a Christian church while you are in Guangdong. And you will see so many worshippers. It's overflowing with the people burning incense and offering sacrifices in Buddhist temples, and lots of people going to Christian churches to pray. Because you haven't been to China, you don't know. You are told that, you know, there are problems with religious freedom. But in China, people are practicing their religion freely. Yeah, but the only thing I have to say, probably is a cultural difference, is that in China, they are both freedom of religious belief and freedom of not believing in any religion.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's a huge difference. Because in China, when people very aggressively proselytize and trying to distribute, you know, the religious books to communities, there are some resistance among the communities. They don't like to be told what they should believe, you know. That's a big cultural difference. They want to protect their children. They don't want their children to be unduly influenced by other religions. So, you know, those religious groups, they can just practice their religion. But if they too overtly try to, you know, share that religious practices with other countries, that could, you know, be a bit problematic. Mm-hmm. You know, because in our law protects people's right to not believe in any religion. But in China, we have all of those five religions. We have Buddhism, which is very, very strong. But there's probably 100 million people in China believe in Buddhism. And Taoism, we have an indigenous religion, Taoism, which we hold very dear to.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Christianity, both Protestantism and Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have Islamism. Islam is huge in China. We have a larger Islamic population than many Islamic countries.
Wow.
And in terms of Christianity, there are 38 million Christians in China. And we have 57,000 clergy, Christian clergy, operating in China.
So this kind of an idea that it's underground is not so.
Well, underground, you know, there are big congregations, there are smaller congregations. When the smaller congregations meet, you know, do you see that as underground or not? If they don't meet in the church, they see, I don't see the things that way, you know. They can practice their religions at their homes or in the churches, in bigger congregations or in smaller congregations.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's their freedom. But why do you say that must be an underground church?
Yeah.
It's not underground. But, you know, but the important thing is, religion cannot interfere into the law. It cannot interfere into the political life of the country.
Wow.
Yeah, that, you know, in China we don't have theology. But, you know, very few countries in the world do. But, you know, we just want those people to enjoy their religious belief, but maybe, you know, not trying to convert everyone into a Christian. You know, that's the...
This has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I appreciate you guys being able to give us a call and being able to talk like this, and I appreciate your transparency and giving this information. Guys, the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300, 5720, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Let me take my last commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation. At Alive, we believe that every common loftier goal is within our reach. We believe in the essence of our identity, the richness of our history, and the boundless potential that lies within us. That's why our network is built by, owned by, and managed by us. Alive, believe in Bahamians. Visit bealive.com to take advantage of our golden independence deals. Alive, believe in best.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic, and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. A few minutes before we get out of here, I see the lines are lit. The telephones are coming in. The calls are coming in. I know you want to be able to do that. Let me take this quick telephone call. We're in here with the Chinese ambassador to the Bahamas, and she's here with us live in full effect. I'm so grateful for that. You got the telephone line? You got the call? Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. Howard Grant.
Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing?
And to your guest, the ambassador to China.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Okay, my name is Antonio Bullard. I'm one of the gentlemen that Howard speaks about when going to China for over 20 years, and I really, truly must say, I really and truly enjoy traveling to your country, visiting your country every, at least twice a year. I've been going to the Canton Fair twice every year and since, and I've been really enjoyed it, and I've been taking people there, and they've really enjoyed it. They see the benefits of traveling to your country and doing business. So I want to say thank you,
wonderful.
Thank you, thank you.
Wonderful, Antonio. Good job. I hope you keep up with this.
I most definitely will.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, Tony. All right, no problem. That's it. I wanted to be able to ask a few questions. Listen, Matt, I didn't even get to all my questions after this. So I want to kind of put something out there. There was a unique question that came to the forefront. I wanted to read it out. For the ambassador, and it had to do with our traffic rules. It says, Howard asks this question. So it says, what can China do to help the Bahamas deal with our traffic woes here in New Providence? Can we build an overpass or a modern public transportation, like the high-speed trains that you have, etc., right? I don't know if a high-speed train could work on 21/7, but...
Yeah, but this is a very interesting question. Yeah, China has been world leading in high-speed trains, and high-speed train has really transformed the way we traveled in China, totally transformed. In the past, when I was in college, it took me 21 hours to travel from my home province, the capital of my home province, to Beijing. Today, this journey is 4.5 hours.
21 hours?
Yes. I had to, there were sleeping compartments, but I was too poor to afford that.
That's an entire day.
Yes, a night. I think it's, you have to go in the morning and then you almost reach Beijing the next morning. Yeah. So it's a very tiring journey. But, with high-speed rail, we are talking about 350 kilometers an hour. Yes, it's so fast. So I think if in Nassau, if you introduce high-speed train, the train will rush to the sea in 2 minutes.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Yeah, and also your country, your island is based on coral rocks, so it's not suitable. But I'm sure, you are just joking. But I think it would be good if the Bahamas or New Providence could develop public transport, right? Have more easier means, more accessible, faster public transport. That would be great for mm-hmm. the local people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has there been any chatter about the possibility of being able to build an overpass? Because what we have is a lot of bottlenecks. People come to the edge of the road mm-hmm. and they bottleneck. Is there any conversations about possibility for that overpass?
Yeah. In terms of this specific issue, maybe you remember we, in our earlier conversation, we did say that any idea of or project proposal has to come from the Bahamas.
Yes.
It has to be the Bahamas yes. government which proposes
yes.
this.
Yes.
So it is up to the government. You could reflect this request to the government, and the government can look at different options, different project proposals. And then it is up to them to decide which to turn over to China and to request the cooperation.
Well, this last thing I want to be able to ask you, I know that we didn't get to a lot of our questions, but I wanted to ask more specifically, what is China's perspective of the Bahamas' strengths, weaknesses, and the opportunities for sustainable development into the future?
Mm. During my time here, I had a strong impression that the Bahamas has so much development potential. You are definitely going to create a much better country, for example, your country is leading in tourism. There's no question about that. But at the same time, if you could convert the 8 million or 7 million, this year is a blockbuster year, the Prime Minister said. So if you could convert all those millions of tourist travelers to the Bahamas into consumers, then that would create a huge population base for the development of your handicrafts and your industries that makes up for the underpopulation of your country. So that's one thing I think you could look at. Another is you have a world-class transit port in the Freeport container port. So and you with the development of the airport, international airport at Grand Bahama, you are well-positioned to make the area between the airport and the seaport and the container port into a distribution center for made in China products.
Mm.
That would be tremendously helpful as you try to lower the cost of living. The Prime Minister said that he wants to lower the cost of living for Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are more made in China goods distributed directly within the Bahamas, that would definitely be conducive to that. Because now much of the made in China goods imported into the Bahamas are via third countries. So this is putting an extra layer of cost in terms of distribution and shipping. So you need with the Freeport container port area, you could have more direct trade with China that cuts down the middleman and make things much easier and much cheaper, accessible for the Bahamian consumers. I think you can definitely look at that. And one advantage and opportunity, as we talked about that earlier, is about the solar energy. I think, if you could work hard at that. And also you have such a great, wonderful young workforce. If you could introduce more education and training for them, they will be made into very productive citizens became very productive producers for the Bahamas. And China offers scholarships and training opportunities. We do hope on all these areas that we can better engage the Bahamas to help it tap into its advantages and grasp the opportunities that are here.
Man, listen, Ambassador, I want to thank you so very kindly on behalf of the Nassau Guardian, on behalf of Guardian Radio, on behalf of the foundation and all those persons out there listening and kind of chiming into the conversation. We want to thank you. We want to thank the People's Republic of China. And we want to thank you more specifically for being able to take up this opportunity and speak with us and kind of dispel sort of the myth associated and the conditioning of what China is and what China isn't. And we really do appreciate, we know that you don't do this often, but we're grateful anytime that you can be able to speak to us about the sort of the opportunities that exist for there to be collaboration between our two countries. I think that this interview was absolutely wonderful. I thank you so very kindly. I know a lot of persons want to kind of hear it back. You can go on guardiantalkradio.com, guardiantalkradio.com, pick up the information, and you can be able to do that. Ambassador, I thank you so very kindly. Anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you so much. I just, the last thing probably I want to say is for Bahamians to really be more adventurous, to explore opportunities in China. But don't let your views of China be shaped by hearsay from other media of other countries or politicians, because you need to come to China and to experience the country yourself, through see China through your own eyes, and you will form your own opinions, and you will be rewarded, I'm sure.
Well, I am definitely rewarded today in being able to get a wealth of knowledge and information. I am excited, absolutely excited about our trip to China. As we'd be able to go there, Antonio called in, Omar Smith, he's who I'm going to be going with. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to all that you've afforded us an opportunity to be able to meet our delegation and to be able to help us navigate to 3 million products, 34,000 persons that you talked about there. I don't think we're going to get through it. So I thank you so much for being able to help us when we go to the Canton Trade Fair coming in October. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of that, you know that the foundation is definitely going. I want to put the numbers out there. If you want to support and be a part of that, we're going to be going live from China every day, midday, live from China during our duration whilst we're going to be there. Please, please support us. Support us here at the foundation as we're going to be able to do that. Give us a call at 827-0111, 827-0111, as we continue to be able to find out more about China and bring that live and in full effect right here, live on radio at the Foundation. Ambassador, I thank you so very kindly. I thank the People's Republic of China for being able to stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the show for today. We are grateful. Tomorrow we can get into some politics and some, you don't want to talk politics and do some stuff like that. Tomorrow we're going to definitely get into that. And we're grateful today to be able to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, have a beautiful day. Stick and safe for Shivago Lang with Z Live right after this. This is The Foundation. Have a great day, guys.
Foundation. The Foundation. The foundation.
The Foundation Hard Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Deposit Insurance Corporation, Grand Bahama News, Marco's Pizza, and Ross Electric Motors.
The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.